Welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. If you're a regular listener and are wondering if Elaine Summerfield has a big frog in her throat or something, fear not. My name is Mark Hickman, and I am one of Elaine's new co-hosts along with Alan Hudson. Elaine graciously invited me to help her here on Inspire Indeed to discuss community issues and hear from the nonprofits and local leaders who are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you are making a difference with your deeds. I personally love puns, so maybe that's one of the reasons Elaine asked me to be a co-host and part of the reason I accepted. But I also manage Connect VA, a program of the Partnership for Nonprofit Excellence and Southside Community Partners, and I volunteer in the nonprofit world. I'm more than excited to be part of the Inspire Indeed and WRIR team. To begin today's show, let me invoke the name of Johann Gutenberg, who is credited, as many of you know, with inventing the mechanical printing press technology in 1450 that made mass printing possible. This incredibly influential technology heralded the start of the modern age, as written ideas and texts were able to spread rapidly throughout Europe and the world. But movable printing type is actually far older than the 15th century in the West. It can be traced back to the 11th century in China and the early 1300s in Korea. So we're talking about a very old technology. Right here in Richmond today, Studio 2-3 is working to inspire innovation in printmaking through artist residency, workshops, and exhibits. And joining me is Ashley Hawkins, executive director of Studio 2-3 and mastermind behind a pretty big project at the recent RVA Street Art Festival. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, tell us about the RVA Street Art Festival project, your overall work, and how you got started. What was the inspiration for this kind of work?
Well, at the studio, we support a community of artists, and the idea of community is a really big thing in the printmaking world. So you work in communal spaces, you work side by side, you share ideas and techniques and technology. And so coming back to this idea of community, we decided to do a piece about our community, by our community, and we wanted to make it really big. So those were sort of our motivating factors behind this project. And it started out as a really crazy idea. And a lot of the way we thought it wouldn't work, there were several times when it just seemed like it wasn't going to come together. But at the end, we had the biggest map of Richmond ever created and printed by Richmonders. So it's an 8x8 foot woodblock map of the city of Richmond. And it was carved by the community, designed by a community of artists, and then printed with a steamroller by myself and several other people. And every aspect along the way was a communal effort. So it was a really cool project for us.
Wow, that sounds amazing. It sounds like your crazy idea, your bold idea, actually turned out to be something that the entire community could be a part of if they were there and able to take part.
Yeah, I think it put us on the map. Puns will go with those. And I think it was a really fun project for everyone involved and very satisfying to see it come to fruition. And now we have these beautiful maps that we're hoping to start seeing all around the city. We sold smaller versions in t-shirts and printed on paper, and we're hoping it becomes kind of an icon of the Richmond community that the community itself created.
Yeah, strengthening that RVA brand, I guess. And, you know, you mentioned community a lot. So what would you say is the need that you're addressing in the community through Studio 2-3?
Well, essentially, the impetus for starting the studio, we started out as graduates of VCU Arts, which is a wonderful school. And we got out and we realized that outside of the university environment, there really wasn't a place for us to continue working in print. The equipment is expensive. You know, it's big. It's hard to have in your own home. So we decided to create a community print shop. And we modeled that off of a lot of other shops that we had seen, Zygote Press in Cleveland, Space 1026 in Philadelphia, and a prior model of the Richmond Printmaking Workshop, which some listeners might be familiar with. It was active from 1978 to 1991. Some of the greatest artists in town were part of it, and it was a sort of prior inspirational model for us. And so we decided that if we started it, there should be enough people with hundreds of students coming out of VCU every year to keep it going, and that has proven to be the case. We have a huge community of people who are using the studio every day, who are coming to events, who are taking classes. And I think that we saw the need for a place where people could not only take a class, but then could come in and work autonomously as artists. So there wasn't really anywhere else in town where that was accessible and affordable. And the idea of community informed that as well, because we really wanted an environment where artists could come in, could work 24 hours a day. We all have crazy schedules and sometimes second and third jobs as art makers. And essentially coming in and being able to use the studio anytime that they want and create work outside of school, outside of having to necessarily pay for a class, that was very important to us because that really strengthens the art community in the city and gives artists a way to lower the barrier of creating work.
So it sounds like Studio 23 is more than a studio, it's more than a print shop. It's a culture, it's a community in and of itself that's connected to the community at large.
Yeah, I think that's becoming more and more apparent. You know, when I am the only staff person there, so when I get the time to step back and look around me and think of the big picture, I'm really encouraged by that. You know, it's not just the nuts and bolts of offering classes or having a press. It's really about the people who use the space, what they're creating, what they're putting out in the world. And that's such a powerful aspect of printmaking, is that you can create multiples. So I see people making band t-shirts or posters for shows or works of art that they're distributing around town, and I realize it has come from our shop. And so the community gets wider and wider, and people coming in now to embrace photo and film is a new exciting aspect of what we're doing as well. So it's really just very inspiring to see that group of people creating work and branching out and being able to, you know, be artists.
I love the power of multiples idea. It really is exponential in what it can do. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're talking with Ashley Hawkins of Studio 23. Ashley, where can listeners go for more information about Studio 23?
Our web address is a little clunky, but I'm going to give it to you. It is studio23, that's all spelled out, TWOTHREE.org. And that has pretty much everything you might need to know about us, contact information to get a hold of me or our education coordinator, or to become involved in classes and artist residency. It's a one-stop shop.
Great, wonderful. And actually, speaking of which, so what are your big goals and key focal areas at Studio 23? Tell us more about the programs and services you offer in order to meet your mission.
Okay, well, I think I mentioned a little bit about our artist residency program, and I'll explain that a little bit further. A lot of places around the country have models similar to this, and it's essentially 24-hour access to a studio facility for artists, and they pay a monthly fee for that access. So I liken it to a gym membership, but instead of getting in shape, you're making art, which I think is just as important. So they come in, and a big part, you know, they're not coming into an empty building. They're coming into a building where they have use of, oh, probably close to $100,000 worth of equipment. So for one person to be able to purchase this stuff, you know, especially as a young emerging artist, is not particularly feasible. So they get to come in, use all of the equipment, create work, and they can come in any time of day. So that's our artist residency program. And the printmaking techniques we support there are screen printing, etching or intaglio, relief printing, and lithography. And coming soon, our black and white darkroom is just been renovated and reopening. And we're also going to have a digital arts lab as well. So all of those technologies and equipment are available through the artist residency program. Secondarily, classes and workshops are another aspect. And I think those values of accessibility and affordability come into our classes as well. So we saw, not having a ton of expendable income as artists, that it was nice to be able to take a class that wouldn't break the bank. We try to tailor them to be affordable, to be accessible so anybody can come learn. If you have never tried this stuff before, they're tailored to you. And if you have a little bit of experience, you can come in and kind of deepen and broaden your knowledge. And those run the gamut from bookmaking to relief printing to screen printing on t-shirts to a really cool Super 8 filmmaking class that we have, where people get a camera and get to make their very own 3-minute-long film masterpiece, develop it in our darkroom, and screen it with the rest of their classmates. So that's our second program. And then internships has actually developed as a really critical aspect, A, of how we run our organization. These interns are amazing. They come in and help with pretty much every aspect of what we do. And in turn, we hope that we give them really important experience in how it is to function as an artist in the world outside of school and how to run an arts organization. And finally, our gallery is our fourth program, and that is print specific. So we only show work that is either print or photo based in keeping with our mission as a printmaking organization. And kind of a cool part of what we do there, going back to supporting artists, is we don't charge any commission for that gallery. So Any proceeds from sales go directly to the artist. Again, because we really want to support artists in this town, keep artists in this town, and attract artists to this town. So we hope that that element of our gallery is able to do that.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, again, no pun intended, what a big footprint you guys have with just you as the sole paid staff member. Is that what you said?
That is correct.
Well, you know, very quickly, for us printmaking lay people, you mentioned a couple terms that I wanted to ask you about very quickly. So relief, how do you pronounce it?
Intaglio.
Yes. Offset and plate lithography. So in a few seconds, tell us what is each of that? What does that mean?
Okay. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible and not get printmaking nerdy on you. So the first, relief printing, you're printing the relief image. So anything raised is what prints. So if you remember back to maybe being in, I don't know, third or fourth grade and doing a linoleum cut, where they gave you a sharp object, maybe against their better judgment, and let you carve into it. You're carving out the white areas, and the black areas get rolled up with ink and printed onto paper. So that's relief. Woodcuts are an example of that as well, like that giant map that we did of Richmond. That was a woodcut. So everything that was streets and words was left, and everything that was negative space was carved out. Lithography comes, litho being the root for stone, initially was done on blocks of stone. So it works on the concept that oil and water repel. So you draw on the stone with a greasy substance and use a mild acid to etch it into the memory of the stone. And then you can repeatedly ink it up with litho ink, which is generally an oil-based ink, and then print that image over and over. Modern technology, or modern-ish technology, has replaced stones with plates. They're aluminum plates or photo plates. So it's actually a photosensitive coating on a metal plate that you can use a photographic image to do the same process. And what am I missing? Intaglio was the last. That's from the Italian word to incise. So you are cutting into a copper or zinc plate using acid. And that, you put a resist over the entire plate, so a waxy substance, make a drawing into it with a sharp object called an etching needle, and which is essentially literally a pokey metal stick that's used to make the image. And then you put the whole thing into acid. And where you've carved away that resist, the acid actually eats into the surface of that copper or zinc. And then you push ink over the surface of that plate. The ink sits in the incised lines, and you use an etching press to push paper and the plate through the press. And the incised lines are actually what print onto the paper there. So I think that's the gist of it, and I hope I made it somewhat more accessible.
No, you did. Thank you. I'm so glad that I asked, because while some of that may have been a little bit over my head, it sounds like printmaking is just as much a science as it is an art. And, you know, you mentioned some of the cost of the equipment that you make available to the community. I understand that you have decided to be very intentional about sustainability, about the sustainability of your organization. Tell us more about that effort.
Yeah, I think that started really with our roots as a communal, all-volunteer organization. So there were four of us initially that founded Studio 2-3, and we started it as a shared space for artists, and it was really just the four of us going. So every cost was covered out of somebody's pocket, and the decision to grow was very intentional. So in 2008 is when we started, and in September of 2010, we moved into our new space, which is on West Main Street. It's in what we call the Uptown Arts District. So it's between Vine and Lombardi, right by Reynolds Gallery and Page Bond Gallery. And essentially, we knew we didn't want to grow and then fall apart. So we wanted to make sure that was a model that we could replicate. So the way that we've done that is we ensure that our overhead costs are covered through fees for service, which is somewhat rare in the nonprofit world. And what we do essentially is that artist residency program, our workshops, our classes, and donations from gallery exhibitions cover our basic operating costs. So they keep the doors open. So any money that comes in from individual donations, that comes in from grants or fundraisers, is excess that helps us improve our programs and expand them and offer them to a wider group of people. And so we basically set ourselves up so that if a grant doesn't come through this year, for instance, our doors won't close tomorrow. And that's been a really important part of how we've grown and really our focus along the way, because I think it's easy to have that big, exciting picture, try to get there and outstep your bounds pretty quickly. So with us, I think that idea of community, that idea of personally knowing people involved in our organization and then the people that they know is very important to us. So we don't want to be a behemoth, you know, the idea of having a group of people working in an expanding group every year is fantastic, but we don't want to get to the point where our overhead costs sort of, you know, keep us from being able to offer programs and really provide quality services for our customers.
Yes, that's wonderful. You know, people sometimes forget that nonprofits are businesses. They have to operate as businesses, except that we have social missions. And to hear about your focus on sustainability to keep your doors open on your own is really wonderful. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. I'm Mark Hickman, new co-host of Inspire Indeed, and we're talking with Ashley Hawkins, Executive Director of Studio 23. And Ashley, remind us, where can people get more details about Studio 23 and its printmaking programs?
You can visit our website, www.studio23.org. And we are also open Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 5. People are welcome to stop in. And we're open for every first Friday as well, and with an exhibition in our gallery.
Great, thank you. So I kicked off the show with a very brief history of printing technology, and I was thinking about how in today's consumer economy, we focus so much on things like wealth creation through certain contrived financial products, on professional services rather than on manufacturing, and on intellectual property and related creativity around intangible ideas and often web-based, you know, internet processes. Printmaking, on the other hand, is pretty old school if you think about it. You are actually producing something tangible that you can pick up, hold, and take with you. But of course, there's also a lot of thought and creativity that goes into the process. It can communicate a clear or not so clear meaning, and it can be viewed, interpreted, and appreciated on an artistic level as well. So what are your thoughts on this old meets new aspect of your work, of intangible versus tangible creativity?
You know, I think that's a really good question, and it's a debate that comes up a lot in the printmaking world. The idea of craft and of technique has often relegated printmaking to a lesser art status. People see it maybe as below the genius required of sculpting or painting. But I think today's artists are really challenging that with content and with technique. I think there's something intriguing and comforting about the fact that the technique is inherently part of the process. So you do need a little bit of knowledge, and then you can subvert the technique. You know, you can start playing around with the idea of old versus new. We really are interacting more and more with digital technologies and traditional printmaking. So this digital arts lab that's coming soon for us, which I think we'll touch on a little bit more, but you know, a lot of artists are creating their imagery digitally. You know, they're going into Photoshop and making a poster design, and then they're outputting that and putting it onto a screen so that they can print the poster by hand. And there's been a resurgence of the handmade, I think, in both the art and the craft world. So I think that we're coming to this at a time where people are really appreciating things that have that quality to them. They're not, you know, spit out by a printer, but a human actually made it and went through every step. And there's something very evident about a hand-printed piece that it has that, you know, hand print in evidence. that's pretty obvious when you pick that up that somebody made it as opposed to Kinko's copying it. And so I think as we go forward, the idea of digital printing, you know, it's a lot of amazing work is being made digitally. So we're really trying to embrace that alongside of the traditional technologies. And there are a lot of artists working in both. You know, there might be a digital print that's then hand screen printed on top of that, or you might print an etching and then have a part of that be a digital element. So I think there's an interaction between the two that can really call that old versus new into question. And, you know, people can make products with printmaking. There's something, you know, they can be very utilitarian. You can make a t-shirt or a bag or, you know, an album cover. So I think that's sort of a fun and subversive way of getting that kind of art out into the world, is that it's not mass produced, it's handmade, it's created, but it still can exist in that realm of consumerism. And I think that that's a pretty powerful tool that printmakers are engaging with these days.
That's awesome. You know, you talk a lot about bringing digital technology into your work, about subversion. Love that. So what does innovation mean to you? How is Studio 2-3 innovating and inspiring innovation in others?
Yeah, I think part of the notion of innovation for us is really providing the tools for innovation for others. And I think being that facility where people can come and work autonomously, they don't need to be supervised. You know, they are artists working on their own. And then we can actually sit back and watch what happens. And that's actually a really rewarding part of my job, is to see people working in the studio every day that are figuring out a new trick, that are figuring out how to print something enormous. You know, they're making 4-foot wide screen prints, which are very large, if anybody's done this before. So I think that aspect of really just being a space that encourages creativity, that allows it, you know, we're not afraid if you get a little bit of ink on the floor. And that's kind of a big deal, because a lot of times, you know, if you're in a pristine, very slick looking environment, you don't want to get it messy. And we are inky and ink covered most of the time. So I think that's part of enabling innovation. As an organization, I think there are a few ways that we are innovative. And part of it stems from our size and our newness. And I hope that it stays this way. But we are pretty non-hierarchical. So I am the only staff person, and I do work with our interns. But consensus is typically valued over, you know, dictation. Our board functions the same way. We really try to pull from our volunteers and from our intern base to keep our costs low. You know, they give us a ton of creativity, of design work, of all of their talents and energy. And we really want to encourage that by providing them with opportunities that kind of appeal to their motivation and to their interests. And I think that that's one way where we are an innovative organization. We're not seeking to get to the point where we have a staff structure that is necessarily pyramid-based. We like the fact that there is sort of a flat structure, and I think that that informs and is informed by the way that communal shops function. You know, everybody is on a peer level, and input is valued, and, you know, consensus can sometimes come at the expense of expediency, but we're kind of okay with that, too.
Wonderful. So, Ashley, with all of this old school and innovative work that you do, how do you know when your work is making a difference in our community? What stories can you share with us?
You know, I think there are obviously the stories of watching artists, you know, make leaps and bounds of progress in their own work. You know, so I see this at the shop on a weekly basis. I would say somebody discovering something, and that's pretty impressive. So my friend Alyssa Solomon works at the studio, who is a photographer and new screen printing aficionado, and she's recently discovered a photo-based process that allows her to do a four-color image that essentially is screen printed but bears a very close resemblance to a photograph. And she's perfecting that and really getting excited and reinvigorated to make imagery. So I think that that is one way, you know, that we see people making personal progress, and I think that that's a huge deal. I think our internship program is a really big part. You know, we essentially send young people out after working at the studio, and they're able to take on careers in arts administration. They're able to teach classes and workshops. And we really try to provide, for instance, our former education coordinator just used that experience as part of her application to grad school for printmaking. And she vows to come back, and we hope that she does. We love her. But I think that we really do serve as a jumping off point for a lot of young people too, which is exciting to me. And I think that that's a big part of why we're here, is to make artists, you know, realize the potential of not only their artistic capabilities, but their abilities to be professionals in the arts, you know, field in some way.
That's awesome. And with all of those ideas and ink flying around, it sounds like it's a fun place to be.
It is fun. I think there's I had a conversation with somebody who mentioned to me that once people walked in the door, they didn't really want to leave. You know, we have – our facility is really great. It's a converted warehouse. We don't have a lot of windows in the front, so our logo is really big on the door, and I think people kind of wonder what goes on there. And then as soon as they walk in and see the equipment and the ink everywhere and the people working, there's a hip factor about it that makes people want to come back, and we really like that.
Great. Well, we have a couple minutes left. What are you looking forward to in the next few months and maybe the next year at Studio 2-3? And how can listeners get involved?
Well, we have a few exciting things coming up. I think I mentioned a little bit before our darkroom just underwent a renovation. And that was led by one of our awesome volunteers, Andy Hess. And so it is now a white darkroom, which I didn't realize was a possibility until he took the project over. It's well ventilated, it's beautiful, and we're really excited to open that back up to the public next month. So photographers who are interested can get in touch with us. They'll have open access to that photography studio. And that's actually the only one in town right now, the only open access black and white darkroom. So that's coming up, and we're really excited about that. We have a holiday print sale that's coming up December 6th through the 8th, which is going to be a lot of fun. We had a summer sale in August, and this one will be holiday themed. So people can come get their, you know, holiday gift goodie bags taken care of there. And that's actually showcasing the work of a lot of artists that are working in the studio, as well as artists who have exhibited in the gallery before. And coming in January, we actually got a wonderful grant through CultureWorks this year to fund a digital arts lab. So we talked a bit about digital technologies in this lab, and what that's going to do is really integrate all under one roof digital and traditional printmaking. So we'll have open access computers for people to come in to create work with the Adobe Creative Suite to print that and then take it to production in the studio with screen printing or other photo-based technologies. So we're really excited about that.
That is exciting. It sounds like you have lots to look forward to. And unfortunately, it looks like we're out of time for today. But I'd like to thank you again, Ashley Hawkins with Studio 2-3, for joining me today. Remind us one more time where people can get more information about Studio 2-3.
Visit us online at www.studio23.org.
Wonderful. Thank you. You can also read more about Ashley, if you would like, on ConnectVA's blog at connectva.org. She was recently featured in a user spotlight. I'm Mark Hickman, Elaine Summerfield's new co-host. I'm thankful to Elaine and to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio. If you'd like to join our team, go to WRIR.org to learn how to volunteer and donate to keep this local voice on the airwaves. You have been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and changemakers who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your team.